This is the King Chasing Podcast. Here's your host, Richard Martin.
Welcome to a new season of the King Chasing Podcast. I'm your host, Richard Martin. Thanks for joining us as we begin season four of the King Chasing Podcast. But don't forget, you can check out past episodes of the King Chasing Podcast at thenccaa.org/podcast on YouTube or wherever else you listen to your favorite podcasts. Our guest on today's episode of the King Chasing Podcast is Colin Cohn, head men's soccer coach at Lubbock Christian University. Colin is entering his third season as head coach of the Chaparrals, guiding LCU to a pair of wins over nationally ranked opponents in his first season, and has also had seven players named to the Lone Star All-Conference team. Colin is a graduate of Grace College, where he was a member of the men's soccer team, registering a 23-16-7 record in goal for the Lancers, making 203 saves and posting 15 shutouts. During his time on the pitch at Grace, he helped guide the Lancers to back-to-back NCCAA D1 Men's Soccer National Championship Tournament appearances for the first time since 1983. Following his playing career, Colin came back to Grace College as an assistant coach for three seasons. In his final season at Grace, the Lancers won the Crossroads League Championship for the first time in 25 years and qualified for the NAIA National Tournament for the first time in 35 seasons. Thanks for tuning in. We hope you enjoy this episode of the King Chasing Podcast. Hello, everybody, and welcome to season four of the King Chasing Podcast, a brand new season. I'm your host, Richard Martin, and today we are joined by Lubbock Christian University men's soccer coach Colin Cohn. And Colin, great to have you on. Glad you could join us.
Yeah, thanks for reaching out. I'm excited to be here with you and look forward to chatting.
Awesome. So we'll just dive right into it. Colin, had a different upbringing, I think, than a lot of people may not know about. Your parents were both missionaries, and you actually grew up, were born in Africa, went to school in Cameroon. Can you kind of give us a little background about your upbringing in Cameroon, how you've kind of discovered soccer through your life and just being the son of two missionaries?
My grandparents were actually missionaries in the Democratic Republic of the Congo. So I'm actually a third generation missionary kid. My grandparents actually wrapped up their time and retired from the mission field, my parents ended up actually going to where my grandparents had been working and almost kind of finished the work there in the Democratic Republic of the Congo. And they were working with the water people there. It was a group in the middle of the bush. The only way you could get in or out was by dugout canoe. So kind of a different journey in terms of even traveling. But that's where they started off. And then soon after the war happened in the Democratic Republic of the Congo, my parents had to evacuate the country. And fortunately, by God's grace, that was pretty much the end of their term there in the Democratic Republic of the Congo. The church was thriving and doing really well. And so it was probably time anyways to see where the Lord would take them next. And so my dad had grown up in the Central African Republic. And so he remembered a group of people there called the Fulani, who are nomadic cattle herding Muslims. And so we ended up moving to Bata in the Central African Republic. And that's where my parents served until their retirement. Pretty much they moved to a different city eventually, called Gambula in the Central African Republic, but stayed in that country. And then during that time, I went to school in Yaoundé, Cameroon at Rainforest International School. And it's actually where my brother is currently a teacher and soccer coach and athletic director. And he graduated from there as well. And so did my older sister. And so ended up spending a lot of time in Cameroon, so it's kind of home for me. But yeah, growing up overseas on the mission field, I mean, soccer is the biggest sport in Africa, and especially in Cameroon, where I spent a lot of my high school days. And so had a lot of opportunities to play, you know, at a pretty high level there with the clubs and things like that. And then also my high school team was quite good. And then the Lord opened up opportunities to come to the U.S. for college, and has opened up opportunities now to coach.
Yeah. And so being, you know, third generation, you know, son of missionaries, how was, like, you know, your walk with Christ kind of been shaped through your grandparents, through your parents in a different way, where, You know, we talk about people in the United States talk about going overseas and doing mission trips. You lived those mission trips. How did that kind of help shape yourself and your growth in Christ?
Yeah, I mean, the biggest thing I'd say is just my parents and my grandparents as well, but obviously I got to really see it with my parents. It's just constantly living in a way that points to Christ, even through really, really hard times. And being people that are about relationships, and putting that, above other things, and building those genuine relationships so that you have the opportunity to share about the Lord and your personal walk with the Lord and things like that. So honestly, I think one of the cool things growing up in a missionary family and overseas is, you get to experience a lot of hard things, and a lot of your dependence and reliance, is on the Lord, and it's from support from people, you know, financially, but also support from people praying for you guys and things like that. And I got to watch my parents prayerfully live their lives in a constant place of dependence almost, and a reliance in the Lord. And, you know, so for me, that was huge, getting to witness that, you know, firsthand. And the fact that, you know, if we're not on this earth to bring glory to the Lord and to share about the gospel and things like that, you know, my parents could have been in the U.S. making probably a lot more money and, you know, doing a lot of different things, but they chose to follow God's story and God's path for them and give up all that, you know what I mean? And that for me has just been a real important factor in my life, to see that there's a bigger picture. And then obviously growing up in a missionary family, I accepted the Lord into my heart, you know, at a young age. But I'd say in my journey, truthfully, other than my parents, I'd say coaches were some of the biggest impacts in my life. I remember going to high school. I remember accepting the Lord, but I accepted the Lord into my heart at a young age. But when I got to high school, I had some coaches that really pulled me aside, mentored me, discipled me, and invested in my life in ways that others hadn't. And I was kind of a hard-headed kid and kind of a punk, to be honest with you. And I really had some coaches that poured into me. And then I went to college at Grace, and Matt Hotchkin, who was the coach there, really, really poured into my life a lot. And then even trusted me one day to join his coaching staff. And through guys like Matt and through guys like the high school coaches that I had, those are people that really helped me grow in my faith. And so I guess that's a big reason I got into coaching.
Yeah, and there you talk about, you go to Grace College. You probably now have seen it from both sides, being where you now recruit international athletes, but you were an international athlete. How did you kind of get in contact with Grace College and decide that this is where I wanted to go play college soccer?
Yeah, so I was talking to a bunch of different schools in high school, from every level in NCAA, but then also in the NAI. And my grandfather played at Grace. My uncle played at Grace. My dad played at Grace. My brother played at Grace. So there was kind of a piece of me that wanted to be there and kind of carry that tradition on. And during the recruiting process, obviously a big piece for us was the financial side. And both schools offered, Trinity only was the only school that offered a physical education degree at that point. And that's what I had wanted to do. So I ended up going to Trinity. Financially, it was a really good option for us just because it was associated, like I said, with our mission that my parents worked with, and soccer scholarships and things like that. So had a really good opportunity to go there. So I actually went to Trinity my first year. And it just, growing up overseas in a smaller village, and, you know, even in the city, was just a lot different than the Chicago area. Right. And for me, I kind of miss family. It was a great year. Like, I had a good season and things like that as a freshman, but I just decided, you know, I'd rather move to Grace, which probably was where my heart was really at. And at that point, my brother had graduated, was married, and had a kid. And had a home there. And so I was able to live off campus with him, which obviously financially helped like crazy. And so I got to transfer to Grace. And it was at a point when Grace soccer was kind of, you know, on the rise. Mm-hmm. And so I was excited about that opportunity. And I knew Matt Hotchkin, the coach that was there at the time, his heart for discipleship and meeting young men where they're at and wanting to see them grow as men, not just as soccer players. And so decided to go to Grace, and yeah, it was a great experience.
Yeah. And like you said, great experience. You know, had a great career at Grace, and last 2 years, Grace wins the 2012 NCCA Midwest Region Championship. They go back to back NCCAA National Championship tournaments for the first time, I think, since 1982 and 83 at the time. What do you just remember about some of those teams, especially that 2012 team that ended up winning the Midwest Region Championship and getting to participate in the NCCAA championships down in Florida?
Yeah, I was playing at that point, so that was really special. Honestly, I don't remember a lot of the wins and losses. I more remember my time with my teammates and things like that on the bus and the NCCA national tournament. When we, you know, we'd always try and go to the NAI, but if we didn't manage to go there, we'd go to the NCCA, and it was always a great experience. It's a great, great tournament. But for me, like I said, a lot of the memories really are the people, and the bus rides and the long nights. And, but in terms of the soccer and things like that, yeah, it was really special, the year that we won the regional tournament, because we had had good seasons. Every year we'd gotten better record wise, conference standings wise, everything wise. And that, I think it was 2011. We went to Cedarville, and played them in the final, and we lost in penalties. And I think I had two saves in the PK shootout in that game. So it was a tough one to swallow. There was like a at large bid that year to go to the national tournament, which was awesome. But then in 2012, winning that whole thing was special, because we went to Bethel, who was a huge rival. And it was an incredible game, and we ended up going to penalties. And earlier that season, the player that shot a pen on me scored it, and I remembered where he shot it. So we went to the PK shootout. He was the first one to step up, and we saved that pen. And we ended up winning that game. And then we went to Cedarville again for the final for a second year in a row. And they're just a great program. They always have great fans that heckle you. it's a great place. And we ended up going there, and I don't remember if it was the first half or the second half, but they played a ball back to their goalkeeper, and he went to clear it, and our forward just ran after him and jumped up in the air, and he actually turned his back, and it hit him in the back and went over the keeper's head into the goal, and we were up 1-0. And then on the second half, I just remember they threw everything at us, and we ended up winning the game and getting to go to, you know, winning that regional tournament, and then getting to go to Florida. And yeah, it was super special. But honestly, it was all about the times with the guys. I mean, it was a special group of players. I think it was a time in Grace soccer when Grace had kind of struggled for a decent amount. They were always okay, but you know, that was where they were at. And it was getting to be a part of the growth of the program as a player and lay those foundations. And obviously today they're a top program in the country in the NAIA and also in the NCCAA, and do a lot of really good things there.
Yeah, for sure. So you mentioned, you know, once your playing career was finished, you came back and were able to be on the coaching staff with Coach Matt Hotchkin. Can you tell us a little bit about that relationship and then how that opportunity came about and just, you know, what you were able to learn from him as an assistant?
Yeah, it was incredible. After I got done playing, I went on and taught for a year at a local high school, middle school. So I spent a year teaching, and I think that was good. I think it created separation from probably me when I was playing to getting into coaching. And then luckily Matt allowed me to come back and work with him. And it honestly, for me, it was life-changing. It was career defining, because there was a lot I needed to learn. There was a lot of maturing that needed to happen. And so those 4 years I was at Grace, you know, Matt played a big part in helping me grow as a man. And, you know, you go from being a player where you think it's all about winning and you think it's all about you and, you know, accomplishments and things like that. And, you know, Matt taught me a lot about, the need for the gospel to be first and foremost, and that people matter more than wins and losses. They're not going to follow you to heaven. It's not just about the wins and losses. It's about the hearts you win and the being a transformational coach, and not just a transactional one. And I think that's during my time as an assistant, I learned that. And I think every year got more mature with that. Matt was also really good about allowing me to, you know, do things. So taking like doing a lot with recruiting, and trusting me with that a lot. And, he definitely didn't have to do that, but he definitely allowed me to make some mistakes and also, hopefully find some good players that eventually led to us winning a 2017 national or conference championship, which was super special. But at the end of the day, the wins and losses don't follow you. And I think those are some of the biggest things that I learned when I was coaching there, that not to lose focus of what really matters. And that's people's hearts.
Yeah. And so after a couple of years, like you said, conference championship at Grace, first time in a while for that, three straight NCCA tournaments. You decided to step out and be a head coach for the first time, going down to Letourneau down in Texas. How did that come about? And, you know, what was the decision process behind, you know, leaving a place you had been for several years to step out and be a head coach?
Yeah, I think at Grace, I would say I was comfortable. I needed a time where I'd grow as a coach and grow as a leader and figure out how I wanted to coach and things like that. And so it was an awesome time. But there also, I'd say after my third year, going into probably my third year at Grace, I started looking at opportunities, and Matt knew that. But just started looking at opportunities. I think it's important to interview. I think it was important to get those experiences. And so I had a couple job offers, assistant positions at other schools and some head coaching positions at other schools. But I didn't want to just jump at something where I felt like maybe I wasn't a good fit. Because for me, I really realized like I wanted to be at a Christian university where I could openly talk about my faith and I could be a part of a community that was hopefully transformational rather than just, you know, we just need students or transactions. And so I ended up staying after that third season, went into that, and I'm glad I did, because we won that championship, which was really special, you know, coming from a player and seeing the growth of the program, and then seeing the growth continue as an assistant coach, and then being able to win that championship was super special. But I'd say that I just gotten to a point where I needed to be the main guy. There's things you just don't learn and don't know until you're in that position. A lot of decisions, you know, a lot of things fall on your shoulders. There's a lot more pressure. And I was getting to the point where I was ready for that and I wanted that. And Letourneau was a great option for me. I knew the university. There's certain schools you kind of hear about when you're overseas. Letourneau is one, Liberty's one, Grace is one, Trinity International is one, Wheaton College is one, Cedarville. These are all kinds of schools that a lot of MKs have gone to. Letourneau, I knew of it. A lot of the pilots that, you know, it's got a really good aviation program and engineering program, but a lot of the pilots that flew me in my village, you know, in Africa from school to back home to see my family on breaks and things like that were Letourneau graduates. So I was very familiar with the school. And I also felt like, you know, my wife and I had been married about a year and a half at that point, 2 years maybe. And it was just a time for us to learn to rely together on the Lord, but then also have to rely on each other a little bit more. And so it was time for us to kind of step away from what we know and what we were comfortable with, career wise for me, but also I think relationship wise. And so we made the move to Letourneau, and man, the Lord blessed that time like crazy. And then the Lord opened up the opportunity to come here to Lubbock Christian, and it's been great.
Yeah, and of course, you know, now Lubbock Christian University in Texas. Just what were kind of like the biggest things God showed you during your times, first as a first-time head coach in the tournament, and then now moving up to an NCAA Division II spot, maybe higher than what some people's standards of in the pecking order. Just kind of some of the lessons the Lord has shown you during your time at both of those schools.
Yeah, I'd say when I first got to Letourneau, the program had struggled for probably 7 or 8 years, struggled pretty bad, like 2 or 3 wins a year type struggled. So immediately I felt pressure of like, I need to go in here and I need to change the program. We need to get wins and we need to try and improve that. So I started focusing a lot more on, okay, I got to bring in a higher caliber player. And quickly I realized that, yes, I did need to bring in a higher caliber player, but I also needed to bring in kids that were the right fits. And Letourneau's a niche, you know what I mean? It's an engineering school, it's an aviation school. And so finding a good soccer player who's a solid student who can do engineering, for example, and who loves the Lord, it makes it a difficult person to find. You know what I mean? They're not out there all over the place.
Right.
So I had to be intentional about the who I was recruiting. But one of the nice things about Letourneau was that there was no statement of faith. You didn't have to say you were a Christian to go there, even though it is a very Christian school and that's a huge part of the identity of the school. It became a mission field for me. And I think that the Lord just taught me more throughout every year that I was there on how to disciple young men, how to keep a level of high standards. And this is who we are and this is what we represent. But he just taught me a lot about discipleship and meeting young men where they're at and understanding the guys are at stakes, and being able to be in their corner and fight for them. But also help them realize maybe when they're making mistakes and when they've done something wrong and being able to acknowledge that and being able to move past those things and help them grow through those things. And I think for me, a lot of coaches in my life did that for me. And so God's just continued to help me try and make discipleship the primary focus of the why I coach. And then I kind of let the results take care of themselves. And I just trust that, you know, we're doing things the right way. And at the end of the day, like I said, the results will take care of themselves if you're living your life the right way, and you're putting the Lord at the front of everything.
Yeah, and so one thing I noticed, for those who don't know, I was your SID for one season at Lubbock Christian, and I just noticed how much, you know, relationships are important to you, not just with your players and your coaches, but with other coaches on campus and, you know, other staff around campus. How important is that to just build those relationships, not just with your players, but build Christ-like relationships with other people on your campus?
Yeah, it's everything, because the reality is, you know, I want to see our players grow as men. I want them to grow as Christians, or meet them where they're at. And I want them to leave LCU and go, I know who Jesus is. Now, at the end of the day, it's their decision if they want to accept Jesus into their heart and things like that. But they have no excuse as to knowing who he is and being exposed to who he is. And so I think the relationships for me on campus are important, because I want people to know my heart. And as long as they understand my heart, I think that there's a transparency between, you know, that side of campus and art and in athletics and in specifically soccer. And so those relationships allow open conversation with each other and things like that. And so kids, all of a sudden, the teachers and other people on campus go, hey, the men's soccer team, the discipleship side of things is really important. And we know we can have those open conversations and tough conversations with, you know, this coach or player or whatever, because on the coaching side, it's happening. You know what I mean? And so I think that those relationships are super important. I think it makes, you know, job wise, I think it makes everyone's job easier if you get along and you have a good relationship as well. But the biggest thing is, at the end of the day, I want to have good relationships with people across campus and things like that, because I want to see our players grow. And I'm not the only one that's pouring into our players. Mm-hmm. And I want those people across campus, whether it's teachers or admissions or financial aid, whoever, to know that it's important to me. And I want our student athletes to be hearing about the Lord and the gospel on their side of campus too. It's not just in the soccer field. It's not just in athletics. It's not just in the classroom. It's all of LCU. And so I think those relationships are super important for that.
Yeah, for sure. Close out here, you know, biggest news for you over the off season was you became a dad for the first time, and it was twins. So just kind of, you know, your reaction to that, and how's it been, you know, being a dad?
Yeah, it's great. I love it. You know, I always used to say I have 40 children, because we have a team of about 40 guys. But now it's real. You know what I mean? Now it's your own blood. And but yeah, they've been incredible. It's definitely changed my perspective on things. And it's been incredible watching my wife be a mom. She's unbelievable. And I'm excited for the players to be able to interact with the two boys. And, you know, as they get older, I can't wait for them to really be able to, you know, interact with each other and things like that. And, you know, that's another reason why I think the gospel and everything like that's so important, is I hope that our guys, you know, are good examples, and that penetrates their heart, so that, you know, my boys get to see these older guys that are cool guys.
Yeah.
Good players, but they also love the Lord. And for me, that'll be really special. So.
Awesome. Well, Colin, thank you so much for joining us. You know, good luck this season, you know, being a dad and also, you know, being a coach as y'all get fired up here shortly with the 2024 season. Thanks again for joining us.
Awesome. Sounds good. Thanks, Richard. I appreciate you, man.
Thanks again to Colin Cohn for joining us on this episode of the King Chasing Podcast. In this episode, Colin talked about his life growing up in Africa, playing and coaching for Grace College, and how he builds relationships with his players and staff at Lubbock Christian University. Thanks again for tuning in to the King Chasing Podcast. You can find more episodes of the King Chasing Podcast at thenccaa.org/podcast, on YouTube, or wherever you listen to your favorite podcast. Be sure to subscribe and share today so you don't miss a single episode. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next time for our next episode of the King Chasing Podcast.